sash till I'm losing my baby. Cause time's getting so hard. Since this recession, I'm losing my baby. Cause time's getting so hard. Lord, she stays cross all the time. Can't afford no whiskey, people. Oh, I can buy a spirit wine. I can't afford no whiskey, people. Lord, 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 she's crossed all the time. Come here,
right now, the most profitable company in the United States ever is facing off with the president of Venezuela. And what happens next could have real implications for the relationship between oil companies and governments around the world. So we had better sit up and take notice as Daniel Bokov comes in with the details.
You know, I don't know how credible the threat is here, Heather, but a lot of people are sitting up and taking notice because this is the biggest challenge yet by an international oil company against a government. And the reason that it's being watched so closely is that around the world right now there is a trend in which governments are trying to increase their control of energy resources because prices are so high. And so we may see more of these standoffs. Now, in terms of this one, Hugo Chavez says that he is ready to wage an economic war against the United States if ExxonMobil wins a key court case. Now, Chavez has threatened to stop selling the U.S. oil before, but in the past, this has been when he felt the U.S. government was really exerting pressure to oust him from power. So far, he's never carried out on the threats, presumably because oil exports are so important to Venezuela's economy. But should he choose to wield it, he has a big stick. Venezuela is the fourth largest supplier of oil to the United States. In November, it supplied about 12%. This story all started last year when Chavez announced that he was nationalizing a multi-billion-dollar oil project. The international oil companies were furious to have their contracts change so dramatically, but most opted to salvage what they could, negotiating minority stakes. But two heavyweights, ConocoPhillips and ExxonMobil, drew a line in the sand. They walked away from the project last June, and they've been seeking compensation from Venezuela as a result. Last week, Exxon won its first major victory with court orders to seize up to $12 billion of Venezuela's oil assets. If it wins the next step and it actually gets to seize those assets as compensation.
Welcome to Richard Stuttmeier's 4 in 4, four blips on my radar screen presented in 4 minutes or less. My first blip profiles the Dow Industrial Average using my three-pronged approach. The Dow Industrial Average is in a trading range between its January 22nd low at 11,635 and February 1st high at 12,737. This trading range is supported by all three of my methods: valuations, the weekly chart profile, and my proprietary analytics. 15 of the 30 Dow components are ready to buy. I don't remember seeing 50% of the Dow components ready to buy before. In addition, the mean P.E. ratio is just under 15 times, which is cheap for the long-term investor. The weekly chart profile for the Dow Industrial Average is neutral, rising momentum, but with the weekly close below my annual pivot at 12,670. In between 11,635 and 12,737 is weekly support at 11,913. We are thus in a trading range before the bear comes out of hibernation. My second blip reiterates my opinion that the U.S. economy is headed for recession. We are not in a recession yet, but I believe we're headed for a severe one. The last time the U.S. economy experienced year-over-year decline in current dollar GDP was 1958-1959. We are set up for a 50th anniversary, and I have three main reasons why. The Federal Reserve has blundered monetary policy by pushing the federal funds rate too high and leaving the rate at 5.25% way too long after pushing rates too low for too long, creating the housing bubble, which resulted in the mortgage meltdown we are experiencing today. Congress on both sides of the aisle and the president just approved a waste of $150+ billion that could have been used to help homeowners refinance. The bottom line is that there are too many bad loans in the banking system, and more will follow. The U.S. Treasury, the Federal Reserve, and the FDIC have no idea how to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. My third blip is a message to Congress and the President. Pass a law to suspend credit scores. Over the weekend, I read that Bank of America is doubling interest rates for responsible credit card customers just because their credit scores have declined. Many subprime borrowers were issued mortgages based upon credit scores, not proof of income. The lending pendulum has swung amidst falling home prices and tighter credit standards. The credit score is being used by scared lenders unwilling to take the risk to help borrowers. President Bush vowed that he will not bail out lenders. The next president will have to. My fourth blip is preparing you for the additional stress in the banking system. The FDIC will release its quarterly banking profile for Q4 2007 on February 21st, and it won't be pretty. Look for increased non-current loans and a sequential decline in net operating income that could approach 50% to less than $15 billion for the entire banking system. Send your comments and questions to support@rightsideadvisors.com. That's today's 4 and 4. Enjoy your day.
President Bush and other high American officials are making many trips to Latin America, and they're saying that President Hugo Chavez is a force for destabilization in Latin America, and they also often try to implicate your President Morales in the same way. One can only conclude it's a campaign to try to isolate certainly Chavez, but it seems also Morales. What do you make of this campaign, and is it having any success?
First of all, it's just because you cannot read a reality that you can mix up different processes. and in Bolivia and in other countries in the region, there are different processes. And the particularity of Bolivia, it's the particularity of Bolivia. But let me tell you something, that the possibility of this change, and more than the possibility, el freno a las élites regionales for a violent solution, for a secessionist movement in Bolivia, it has come also from the external support of this process. It's really important, the support that we found in our neighbors' countries and also overseas countries in Europe. It was really important, the support that President Morales and all the democratic process of change in Bolivia has reached in the summit of Mercosur. But it was really important, the visit of President Lula and President Bachelet on last December to Bolivia. And also it was important, the words of the new president of Argentina, Madame Fernandez de Kirchner. So it's really important, the support. And that's why Bolivia, it's not isolated, and it won't be isolated. After all, it's clear for everyone that the need of change in Bolivia, it couldn't wait more. So even if there are the forces or the persons or the presidents or the countries that they would like us to get isolated, that's not possible. And also we found a really not conditioned cooperation in Venezuela, and we have the solidarity of and the friendship of President Chavez. But the process of Venezuela is the process of Venezuela, and we respect very much this. But the process in Bolivia is the process in Bolivia also.
Welcome to Liberty TV's The Big Plantation. I'm your host, Merson. I'll be guiding you here through the night. We have a lot of subjects to get through. The weather's pretty nasty out here in PA, so, you know, I'm kind of glad to not be up on a roof, because that's what I do. I'm a roofer. Been up on roofs all day long, and it's been rainy and icy and miserable out. So I'm glad to be inside in a nice warm place talking to you people. Where can we get started here tonight? I have so many different stories to go through. As you can see, I went ahead and played a couple news stories pertaining to a lot of things. Because, you know, news stories pertain to our history. We're going to get started here with... Alright, this is a great story. I am so excited for them. I hope that they actually... As you know, the Lakota people have been brought down. It's a sad story. I mean, you're killed. I mean, that's 100 million people. You think about what happened here in America with the Native Americans. It is a true genocide. It's disgusting what happened. Started here on this story, you know, depending on what you've read or where you've heard the story, you know, you'll know the Lakota Sioux have unilaterally from their treaties with the United States and claim independent sovereignty. Take these two example headlines here. We got USA Today went Lakota withdrawal from treaties, declare independence from U.S. And the Rapid City Journal more precisely chose Lakota group secedes from the U.S. The semantics are important. The USA Today story says that is the entire Lakota nation which has seceded, whereas Rapid City Journal headline reports that merely a group of individual Lakota Indians chosen to renounce their citizenship and secede based upon a number of facts. Russell Means, one of the delegates who presented the Lakota withdrawal letter to the United States Department of State last Wednesday, and this is back in December, this story is, said said the following during weekly attended press conference. We are no longer citizens of the United States of America, and all those who live in the five-state area that encompasses our country are free to join us. It is also within the laws on treaties passed at the Vienna Convention and put in effect by the U.S. and the rest of the international community in 1980. We are legally within our rights to be free and independent. Wow. Believe it. Somebody has the balls to do this. I mean, this is great. You know, I support them 100%. You know, sign me up. I'll be your roofer. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to go live with a Lakota. You know, live as a free man. You know, it's really, really exciting for him. You can read all about this story. www.lakotafreedom.com. That's LakataFreedom, LakotaFreedom.com. And it's really interesting. It's young, Dwayne Martin Sr. and Gary Rowan make up the Lakota group Vine. We're both active members of the American Indian Movement in the 60s and 70s, and were part of 1973. All right. Let's get this straight here, all right? A lot of people might think that they have no right to do this. They get a lot of money from the U.S. government, and they should be happy and proud to be Americans. They don't get that much money from the U.S. government, and when they do, it's strictly bureaucracy. Their money gets wasted, you know? And they happen to have the lowest life expectancy in the world for their mail. Ridiculous. It's like in the, you know, 40s or 30s. Like, it's really low. All right? And alcohol... It's almost like it has been used against these people, which really is sick and sadistic. I mean, you feel sorry for their people, but you have to realize it wasn't just their people; it was all the people. When Christopher Columbus landed, all right, the Bahamas, the islands of the Bahamas. 80,000 natives lived on the island of Bahamas. When Christopher Columbus left the island, they were all dead. All right, 80,000 people wiped out. You know, and holiday for crying out loud. You know, kids get off school or whatnot. And here he is, you know, there's only 40,000 people living on the Bahamas today, and none of them are native. So if you can take that into a, went from 80,000, it's pretty messed up. I don't even know where to get started there. Here we got Ron Paul.
Well, Houston, we have a problem. We need Ron Paul to solve them. Houston, we have a problem. We need Ron Paul to solve them.
Principle, the moral principle, is that of defending liberty and minimizing the scope of government. If you think the government has to take care of us from cradle to grave, and if you think our government should police the world and spend hundreds of billions of dollars on a foreign policy that we cannot manage, you can't get rid of the IRS. But if you want to lower taxes, and if you don't want the government to quit printing the money to come up with shortfall and cause all the inflation, you have to change policy.
Ron Paul, all right. Ron Paul calls for march on Washington, D.C. Congressman Ron Paul has called on his supporters to organize a march on Washington, D.C., admitting that such a move would be risky but impossible for the media to ignore and could have a big impact on the Republican convention. In a campaign update video posted on YouTube last night, now this was actually on Monday that he posted this, I watched it, the Texan outlined his thinking. One of the projects that I have been working on in my mind and in my head with you, we ought to make a grand display. We ought to have a true march what our numbers are. Now, this is what Ron Paul said. He also added that the move would be, quote, unquote, risky. Now, why would it be risky? I would have to say it's risky because he's going to be focusing a lot of energy towards this march. All right? More so than the president. Because obviously it's not, this is what I've been saying, this is not about winning the presidency. This is about changing the way we, all right? If we continue going on thinking that we can treat the earth the way we treat the earth and treat each other the way we treat, well, it's just not going to work out. It's obvious. We've been doing this for the past years and it's not working. We are right back where we were before. We're getting ready to go back another dark age. I mean, what do you think is going to happen when the economy crashes? It's going to, everybody's going to, the government's going to come in and save everything? No, it's not. All right? Wake up to reality, America. Okay? Because America has been blindfolded for the past 50 years. Real world. All right? And it reminds me of MTV, you know? Hey, this is the real world. And it has nothing to do with the real world. They want you to think the real world is. No. You go out in the streets of America. I'll take you out for one day, and I'll show you what the real world is. All right? It's not a fancy little apartment building where everybody's nitpicking at each other. All right? The real world is tough. I deal with it every day. But let's get back on the Ron Paul story here. Paul said the march was necessary because the media would not be able to ignore it, and such an action would send a powerful message. And that is so true. You know, you take all these people and you put them together, putting the same effort in. There's a power behind it. It's the same feeling you sit there and you feel this, like, energy pulsating. It's the same thing. It changed just from that power. You know, this is Gandhi for you, you know. Everybody gets together peaceful. You're not being violent. All right, because violence doesn't help. I mean, they're going to have agent. That's why when I go to this march, I am going to have a video camera. And anybody else that I'm going to see there, I hope that they have video cameras too, so we can catch agent provocateurs. So bring them. But it's going to be a real powerful message. I mean, if you can just imagine every Ron Paul supporter, I know there's a lot of them out there. Signs on every other property for no reason, and somehow he gets freaking 5% in the poll. All right? I'm sorry. Don't. Yeah, ignore my bad language. It gets me pumped up, all right? Others have gone to Washington. People remember the grand rallies, says Paul. So I am at the point where I think we will have to make a grand stand. We have to stand firm and see where the numbers are and be counted and see if the remnant is still there and how big it is. Adding, such a display could make delegates set up and take notice at the Republican convention in September. And this is true. I mean, if they see all these people marching on Washington, and Ron Paul gives a great speech, and I'm talking thousands and thousands of people, and I believe there's going to be thousands of people there, and it's going to be a big deal. They're not going to be, because this is what it essentially is. It's not about one man getting elected. I mean, the man's told us he doesn't even want to be president. Because he had a lot of responsibility, but, you know, he'd like to be president because, you know, who's the president? Nobody knows who the president of Switzerland is. Exactly. That's what's supposed to be here in America. The whole world knows who George Bush is. All right? And they shouldn't. Because he shouldn't. They're making all kinds of trouble. Paul said the rally was vital. Quote, unquote. If we want to really take a stand for freedom, take a stand that nobody can ignore to see what would happen if we really had this grand march on Washington. All right? Imagine. Just imagine, people. You know, war's over if you want it. All right? All this stupidity is over if you want it. I can't believe people continue to vote the same people in time and time again. Don't they realize that all the mistakes that have brought us to the point we are at right now is because we keep on voting the same? I mean, it's not even as much as the elections are rigged as there are very stupid people, all right? It's amazing that people should be allowed to vote. I mean, like, stupid people can vote, so then stupid politicians make stupid decisions. The prospect of such a huge public display is obviously going to send chills down the spines of the elite, and they will no doubt be considering plans to infiltrate and provocateur violence so as to demonize legitimate demonstrators in the eyes of the watching audience. This is what's going to happen. Let me tell you, they're going to be there because they're like, it's our chance to make these people look like terrorists, and we can round up and put them in FEMA concentration camps. I'm telling you. Numerous importants down the years have been infiltrated by authorities posing as anarchists who instigate violence to give the police cartel blank to crack down peaceful protesters. This just happened. This just happened in Quebec last summer. Alright? The SPP, the Security Prosperity Partnership Summit. All right, and this was between Canada, United States, and all right, this happened last summer in Quebec when Canadian police were caught forced to admit to posing as violent rock-carrying anarchists. All right, they had police issued boots on. All right, and it was the easiest freaking. They just lay down on the ground. They were hands, like the guys, like, you know, held their hands to the freaking van. And then when you find out that their boots were only police issued boots, all right, anywhere unless you're a police officer for Quebec, all right, you know, it's like there's a picture. You see their feet right next to the feet of police, and they're same exact boots, same exact bottoms of the boots, same, except they're dressed as anarchists. And they're trying to take a peaceful protest and turn it into a riot so they can arrest all the peaceful protesters. Not going to happen, because we're not going to let it happen. Just like it happened in Quebec, someone had a video camera, and they, all right, we're going to be there, and we're going to expose them. They're not going to get by on us on this. Peaceful protest. I can't wait. I hope you're all there. And, you know, every single person that believes in this call, just about Ron Paul anymore, this is about changing the things now. If we don't change now, if we don't start to change now, I'm talking not tinkering with it, but changing the system radically, and radically changing the way we think. Let me tell you, 10 years down the line, even if, you know, even 2 years down the line, we're not going to be able to fix it. It's going to be too far gone. It's going to be a crap. It's going to make history, all right? It's going to fall, the American Empire, fall like the Roman Empire, all right? That's history for you, all right? During the campaign update, Ron Paul also emphasized why his supporters should not be disheartened by his recent decision to scale back his presidential campaign in order to safeguard his congressional seat. Quote, "We do have to be very positive about what we have achieved this year, far beyond my expectations and far beyond the expectations of most of those individuals in the media who wrote us off rather quickly." End quote, Ron Paul. All right, well, you know, he's got to focus on this, all right? Because it's obvious that they're going to rig the presidential elections. Do about that. We can still, you know, make change, because a lot of people, what is the North American Union? Who's this guy Ron Paul talking about, North American? What are you talking about? You know, they're like, hey, wait a second. So a whole bunch of people, thanks to Ron, have been awakened to the problems that are really going on. It's not just a conspiracy, all right? And it's obvious. There's proof of it. And now people are waking up and they're like, wow, boy, I've been asleep. I'm awake now, you know? He says, Ron Paul says, "If we drop the ball now, if we fade away and disappear, all our work and effort that we've done in the past year could be lost." So that it is why I believe we have to stay in this race and do what we can. We must not. All right? Let me tell you, we must not give up. Because if we give up, our children, the most harm that we could possibly do. I mean, our parents did not do the best for us. We can say that, because we're in this position, and you can thank your parents for it, and that the parents before them were in today. They should have stood up, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years, you know. They should have said no, hell no to the Rockefellers, you know. No, you can't pay an IRS tax. You know, this is going to end up to fascism, because if they stood up back then, we wouldn't have it right now. We're dealing with the consequences. And our children are going to be dealing with it. They're not going to have what you had. They're not. Their life's... You think you don't like, you know, living like a slave now because... Living like a slave. You just wait. Because you're going to be living like a... Given all your earnings just to be able to exist. And that's wrong. That's slavery. Slavery's wrong. Alright, well, I'm pretty upset about it. You know, it's just the way it goes. But we got to focus here, people. You know, I was upset because people they were too. Ron Paul elected. All right, that may not happen. All right, we have to look for a solution here. We have to change the way people think. All right, economics. All right, economics. Economics proves itself. All right, it's gonna continue cutting interest rates. What the Fed is doing right now is they're cutting interest rates, or interest rate to cut. All right, and what happens when there's no more interest rate to cut? Well, they have, but since every time they cut an interest rate, it's kind of forestalling the all right, and they've been doing that ever since 9/11. All right, ever since 9/11, they've been doing the recession, because we should have had a real bad recession, and if we did, we'd be in the position we are in today. But they keep on stalling it and going out. And now it's 2008, 7 years later. And we're getting ready to go into action. I mean, I can't emphasize more to people why you need, all right? I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, you got to stock up on guns, you know, ammo. You got to stock up, buy gold and silver. No, you need food. Stock up food and hide it, all right? Because what good is a bullet if you strength to pull the trigger, you know? What good is gold? When eat gold? I can't eat gold. I mean, I possibly could, but, you know, it's no nutrient to it. It's not going to keep me alive. I'm not going to be able to buy food if there's need to buy with the gold. Okay, you know? I mean, it would be smart to have a lure or some extra bullets laying around, but, you know, food. You got to stock up on food and seeds so you can grow food. Because when you run out of food, what are you going to do? And get some survival guides. I mean, you got to think about what's going on here. Millions and millions of people that are going to be starving in this and rioting. It's going to be complete martial law. I mean, I hate, all it's going to take is a 1% disruption in the food distribution. All right? That means you take, all right, like the story about Chavez that here in this podcast. If he was to stop exporting oil to the States, just the, not that his oil will, we need his oil much as he thinks we do, but just the fact that he does it, all right? Oil prices skyrocketing. Oil prices go up. Guess what? Gasoline goes up deep, and it all goes up in price, all right? Now what it costs, you know, say $1,000 to ship in fuel from Florida to Pennsylvania cost, you know, let's say $15,000. Guess what? That's a 1% supply. There's going to be people starving because they're not going to be shipping as much food. It's empty in the supermarkets. Unless you buy locally. And I've been telling people you need to support your local farmer because they're going to be the people that feed you. All right? It's not going to be the department stores, Acme, Walmart, you know, Giant or Food Lion. You got these big department stores, and We got to focus locally. We got to stop doing this whole national global thing, because the national global thing, people in France don't give a damn about you. They don't. They don't care. All right? They starve or not. They care about themselves. They care about the people in their town. And that's what we need, is we care about who lives, our neighbors, our family. All right? We got to prepare for. You don't even got to tell anybody that you're preparing. You can do this completely. You can go out, buy some canned food, some rice, you know, anything that doesn't perish, and dig a hole, you know, and throw it in a bag, and, you know, because I can guarantee you, people are going to be coming looking for food, you know. We gotta prepare ourselves, all right, because, you know, this is going to be some tough times ahead. You know, I cannot stress it more than I am stressing it now. It is so such a big deal. Oh, boy. All right. Well, I got a couple other things to go through here. Taxes. All right. Let me get into taxes for a second. What makes people want to, you know, continue on working? I don't understand. You sit here, you work your butt off. I don't know about you, but I'm a roofer. All right. And you're probably going to hear this a lot, but I roof. Not easy work, but I love doing it because it's very rewarding. And due to the soon-to-come economic crash, I'll always have a job. People always, always need a roof over their head. So I chose to be a roofer. I got a bonus last week, and my bonus made me bump up higher in the tax bracket. Therefore, the federal Gestapo decided to take more money from me out of my paycheck. So it's basically, if I didn't work harder, and I didn't try my best at my job, I would get rewarded more by being able to keep more money. I don't understand it, you know. One thing I do understand is how taxes are, and we're really going to get into this a lot with this podcast. Not this one, but more podcasts to come. Taxes are really interesting. They're a form of bondage, a form of slavery. All right, our people did not come here to this country just, you know, to get taxed again. I mean, we're getting taxed worse now than we were under the King of England. I don't understand why we put up with it. Fluoride in the water? That's what I hear, you know. People are very passive here in America. You go over to Europe, and the governments there fear their people. Absolutely fear their people. And there's good reason for it. Because our people just don't stand up like they used to. They used to be, our government used to be very fearful of our people. They still are to some sort. And they wouldn't be trying to control us if they weren't afraid of us, you know? I'm simple as that. They need to control people that they are afraid of. So if we keep on, people like me and the other podcasters here, if they keep on putting our voice, if we keep on putting our voices out there, they know they have something to be scared of. So they'll continue trying to control us. And the most important message I can explain to people is your liberty does not get taken away from you. It is legislated away from you. So if you allow these crooks to continue to play their politic game with your life, you deserve everything that's coming to you. Everything. But that doesn't mean people like me, my family, and other friends of mine, and people that are listening to this podcast deserve it. Just because you want to be ignorant to the facts of the world. I was talking to a guy not too long ago, and if he ends up listening to this podcast, he'll know exactly who he is. I was going on and on about the whole CIA plane crash with drugs on it and everything. You know, I'm sure some of you have heard about that CIA plane crashed, and it had, you know, a couple hundred pounds of cocaine on it, and I was also talking to him about the poppy production in Afghanistan and how it's flourishing and the reasons behind it and why I believe, you know, through my education and my experiences that it's purposeful. They're purposely doing this. So he just tried to brush it off like, oh, that's just another one of your conspiracy theories, ranting on. You know, it kind of made me a little mad, but, you know, then I brought something up. I was like, you know, well, you know what? Just remember, it was people like me that warned everybody, warned the world of what was going on, in World War II. People were saying, they got these people in concentration camps, they're work camps, they're working them to death. They're throwing them in chimneys and burning them alive and gassing them. But nobody wanted to believe them. Nobody. The locals, they didn't want to believe them. They heard it. They knew it was going on, all right? But they chose not to believe it, all right? So then when the Allies came in and found these atrocities going on, they took the people from the local towns, and they brought them there. And they made those people sit there and watch these people die. There were people dying there right in front of them, starving to death, dying right in front of them. And they made them look at all the piles of bodies. And they took them down into the smokestacks and showed them the skeletons. And they showed them the conditions these people were living in. And then they made them clean it up. Alright, this is what's going to happen to all the people that are ignorant to the facts out there. You're ignorant to the facts, it's going to come back to bite you. It's not going to come back to bite me. I know what's coming. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to be ignorant to the fact, and I hope you aren't either. All right, well, I'm trying to keep these podcasts shorter than 45 minutes. It's getting close to 45 now. This is my second podcast. For those of you that have listened to my first podcast, thank you for listening to my second podcast. I'm much more comfortable. There's a lot of things I have to go through. I'll get through them all through all my podcasts. I'll probably never stop podcasting until the day, and day that I no longer can podcast. So hopefully this takes off. You know, I got big plans for Liberty TV. Big Plantation is just a section of it. You know, I'm hoping this will be free media for everybody. You know, we gotta. This is what's amazing about the internet, and this is why they're trying to regulate the internet, is because freedom of speech. We have no freedom of speech anymore, and we can keep it if we want it. You know, we just gotta we gotta stand up for our rights, people. We gotta keep the internet free. So, you know, we'll start here on the internet and see if we can take this media mainstream. I'm talking about Liberty TV mainstream. Yeah, you know, screw CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, you know, all those major networks, because they lie and they're propaganda machines. I mean, this could be a propaganda machine as well. It really could. You can consider it that. But the truth is, I'm a real person. I'm not getting paid money to do this. I'm doing this because I want to be a patriot. All right, it's the patriotic thing to do is to spread truth and talk. You know, I mean, I'm talking about it. You know, I'm not ignoring the facts, which most media talking heads like to do, shall we say, talking heads, because that's what they do. They sit there and they argue with each other, and they continue. This is the way they like our country to work. They pick, you know, like for instance, they go, This racial ethnic group has a problem with this racial ethnic group, and then they get both racial ethnic groups mad at each other, and the whole time both groups are missing the fact that what really happened was both of them got screwed by the government in this deal, and somehow both of them end up hating each other, and they're not looking at the true fact, which is the government or the media screwed them. So, you know, it's time for us to wake up, people, you know. One love, you know, we need to love each other, you know, love each other and you know, keep our government in check, because if we don't, it's going to come back to bite us. Coming on 45 minutes here, like I said, I just want to wrap things up. We're going to take this thing, we're going to make it big. I hope to get more listeners. I'm going to, you know, if you got any suggestions, I'll take suggestions, comments, anything, you know, help me get better at this. I also have a YouTube channel if you'd like to check out some of the movies I've been making. I'm very political in orientation, so you can check out my Ron Paul videos. I got videos on CFR, you know, Constitution and stuff. They come and go, you know, as I make them. I still plan on continuing making movies, so check them out, and they should be pretty cool. You can find my videos at www.youtube.com/MERCEN144. That's Mercen 144 slash. Okay, so that's youtube.com Mercen 144. Alright, you can also email me at Mercen@mail.com. Alright, that's Mercen@mail.com. Yeah, I don't know how I got it, but I got that. So go ahead and check me out. Leave some comments on my YouTube channel. I greatly appreciate it. I like to keep discussion. I check my emails pretty regularly, at least daily. I get a lot of them, so be patient with me. We're going to take this thing to a new level. All right, so peace, love, and prosperity. Peace. Yeah.
them all. Lord, Lord knows she's crossed all the time. Get out of this mess around.